Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to That One Show with the Newmans. Well, on this episode, my lovely wife Bethany will not be able to join us. She recently had her wisdom teeth removed, so as you can imagine, she's not exactly in the talking mood. So, looks like I'm going solo this time. So, we're going to be shifting gears a little bit and going in a different direction. I know a lot of y'all are following our paranormal series, the eerie episodes per se, but I'm gonna go ahead and go into something a little bit different. You know, I've had a pretty rough life growing up. I mean, I wouldn't say it's been awful, but you know, I've never been what I like to think of as a success, so to speak. You know, I went to high school, graduated high school, so I made it that far, but I didn't go much further than that. You know, I immediately started working. So I've learned a few, I guess, secrets to looking for a good job without a degree, and I want to share that with you today. So if you're a hard worker like me and you're looking to improve your income, that way you can find a better career, then you're at the right place. So let's jump right into it. You know, I've spent a lot of time developing my skills to become a successful middle class citizen, beats, I guess, lower class citizen. And this is the stuff they don't teach you at school, which is why I'm here. So consider this your class. Here's a probable scenario for why you are listening to this podcast episode. If not, then just go ahead and throw your backstory into it, however you want to do it. Yeah, so just picture this. Growing up, you and your family were not the wealthiest. In school, you didn't always get a yearbook because they were too expensive. You didn't get to go to all of the school activities because you had a part-time job helping your parents pay bills. You didn't have the brand new car because your parents were not loaded. Instead, you're driving a 1985 Chevy Cavalier that didn't even run when you first got it. And after working some odd jobs around the neighborhood, you finally collect about $500 to get that car running, only for the engine to blow a few months later. Does this seem familiar to you? This is how it worked out for me. So, guess what? I'm not upset by this at all. By no means. Why, you ask? Because this actually made me a better person. Because my parents didn't feed me from a silver spoon, and they instead, more or less, let me eat by my own bare hands, I've developed a strong work ethic and value over all of my possessions, whether they're cheap or expensive. So, that's kind of my backstory. So enough of the backstory. Let's go ahead and get into my secret for finding a good job without a degree. And be warned, this does take time and you have to be ambitious and also patient. But I promise it worked for me. So what you have to do, find your special skills. Some of you may already know what you're good at and some of you may not. Here's how I did this. You may need to change entry-level jobs frequently to find your passion or something you enjoy. I started at Sonic Drive-In because, well, I needed a job and you have to start somewhere. Besides, you know, I was just a high schooler trying to make some money to help with the bills and become a little bit more independent. After Sonic, I went to McDonald's. Then I realized there was no way I wanted to stay in the fast food industry. But I give props to those who do. And, you know, you can't disqualify fast food industry from a career entirely. I mean, chances of getting very far are probably fairly slim. I don't know. I never actually researched it. But I do know a few successful folks that are in the fast food industry. I decided that there's no way I wanted to stay in the fast food industry, especially after I got fired for showing up 24 hours late. Oops. I misread the schedule, so it happens. So let this be a lesson for starters. Always double check your schedule and be punctual. From McDonald's, I went to work at the local Piggly Wiggly. Now this was a breath of fresh air. Oh my gosh. Literally fresh air. You didn't have the grease and the fryers and all that stuff. It was the smell of a retail grocery store. So that was really nice. And I decided at that point, right there, that I would never work fast food unless absolutely necessary. And when you're out of, whenever you're at any of your jobs, trying to get as much knowledge as possible is the thing to do. Learn how to clean. Learn how to stock. Learn how to cook using the fryer and grill. Do dishes and be a cashier. Do anything that your job offers so you could expand your knowledge on just every different type of job. I took, really, in all honesty, this is how I found out that I'm great with customers and not so much with dishes. I took way too long being meticulous with the dishes. I mean, I'd sit there and scrub until everything came off. I mean, maybe I did a really good job of dishes. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's probably part of it. So from Piggly Wiggly, I moved to Walmart. I started as a door greeter. Believe it or not, at the age of 18, I was able to be a door greeter. Then I went from there to the stocking crew. And from there, I went to a health services company that assisted elderly in their final days. In this case, I was what they called a certified bathroom attendant, I believe, or a CBA. So yeah, of course, we went by the acronym. Because for whatever reason, certified bathroom attendant doesn't necessarily sound like the most glamorous thing in the world. So CBA it is. And I'll go ahead and say this job is not a job for many, and it wasn't exactly for me. The reason why, I became attached to my client that I was assigned, and even though I was helping him clean himself by giving him baths, you know, it was okay money, but you have to do what you gotta do. And after growing attached to my client, with our long talks in his den, watching the squirrels jump from tree to tree, and really appreciating the little things in life, he unfortunately passed away, and I had to quit the job just because I simply couldn't handle it. You know, it's whenever you get that attachment to somebody and you spend days with them every day, just sitting there looking at squirrels jumping from tree to tree, talking about the simplest things in life, and really building a relationship with that person, I just couldn't handle that. This job taught me that I could show empathy, though, and handle uncomfortable situations, because trust me, there's nothing glamorous about the CBA position. But it also showed me that I could still have great customer service. However, I could not be working in the medical field with any sort of long-term care for clients because I would get too attached. So that didn't really cut it for me. So I decided, you know, that was the end of the line for me in that industry. I did a few odd jobs after this, and I eventually got my next job working at a 7-Eleven. I started off as, their part-time, more or less, and due to the store location, which just so happened to be in the rough part of town where drugs and violence was predominant, we're talking two blocks away from the, the hood, or, you know, the really rough side of town. They couldn't keep good staff there. So this allowed me to move up very quickly within the store, and next thing I knew, I was the assistant store manager at the age of 18. Riddle me that. Now, with this came a lot of responsibility. I began working very long hours, which ended up sometimes being 18-hour shifts within one day. And I was enjoying the overtime pay, trust me. I saved up enough money to move and quit the job due to the constant robberies and violence I had to deal with. But nonetheless, I made good money, and I had that experience under my belt. But, you know, the robbery thing, it got really old really quick. So I got to the point to where I probably would have ended up getting myself killed if I stayed there, just because I was so used to it. It was just, you know, second inch. Okay, you're coming to rob me again. Great. Here's money, paper or plastic. They don't take too kindly to that, apparently, you know. So, but either way, I digress. I think that's the word you say. This job gave me the skills that strengthened my accounting abilities, training skills, and how to handle escalated situations without dying, luckily. But, you know, I also learned that working in the rough part of town wasn't necessarily my niche Nietzsche, however you want to word it, or pronounce it, rather. Well, after that, I decided to, go to car sales, because why not? And first, I will go ahead and say, horrible job if you're just starting out in sales, because you literally get thrown to the wolves almost immediately. So unless you are born with the ultimate selling skills, it's going to be a tough start for you. Luckily for me, my customer service skills worked out for the best. I sold many cars and learned marketing, social media marketing, public relations, and different steps to a sale, customer follow-up, and so much more because of this. And due to the earthquake in Japan back in 2011 and the increase in gas prices, however, my sales career came to an end because all the vehicles that we were selling, mostly the high MPG cars, they were unable to be manufactured due to the disaster. If you couldn't tell, all of our stuff was made in Japan. So this is whenever I changed jobs yet again. I moved to working at a call center. Now this is where it gets good. The reason I chose this call center is because the opportunities for growth were very high. Now, let me repeat those words. Opportunities for growth. That's what it is right there, because this is very important, and I will come back to it after I tell you a little bit about what I learned from this job. This job taught me how to de-escalate customers, how to create elaborate spreadsheets, how to do payroll, how to do human resources, and just about any other basic managerial role. So you need to find a job with opportunities for growth. This can be tricky, but if it works, they pay off, and the payoff is tremendous. At least it was for me. So I want to say the words again, opportunities for growth. After you figure out what skills you have and enjoy, find a job with opportunities for growth. My choice was a call center. How did I choose this? It was actually simple. So I found a company that had a very high attrition, which is, you know, people getting hired and fired or quit very frequently, and I applied for the job. And this means a couple of things, and it can be scary at first. First off, this means that there is probably a job that's got low job satisfaction. You know, that's quite honestly what it is. And that sucks. However, with a good work ethic, you can make it through. Just remember what the payout is. Secondly, this means that though the job satisfaction rate is low, the management positions are constantly becoming available because the managers can't stand their job either. So why would you want to become a manager if all the other ones hate it? Wait for it. I'll get to that. But first, let's get the job. Now, this is so cliche, but seriously, dress for success. Someone once told me to dress for the job you want, not the one you have. I have held that standard pretty much my entire working career. And yes, I may have been interviewing for a burger flipper position for an entry-level customer service position. However, I dressed as if I were in management. Be clean. Seriously, nothing worse than interviewing for a job smelling like an unflushed toilet wearing pajamas. I've interviewed folks like this before, and they definitely did not get the job. So, one rule of thumb is wear business casual at minimal for your interview. And depending on the job, business formal may be too much, but there's nothing wrong with khaki slacks, dress shoes, and a nice long sleeve button-up shirt. And I'd go button-up instead of polo. But, I mean, you could also do polo. But I prefer the nice long sleeve button-up. And make sure your belt color, make sure that belt matches your shoes. Inside tip. What you've got to do, though, is you have to be confident and sell yourself. This may take time, however, if you start training yourself to do this at the beginning of your working career, you will get better. You almost have to be a salesman. Hell, if you are a salesman, use that skill during your interview. One other thing I want to say about interviews, though. Do not lie in an interview or in an interview. Many folks have said to do what you have to do to get the job, and this will do honestly do nothing but hurt your future career with the company, and you will become dead weight for your employer. Answer questions in your interview confidently and honestly. Focus on the skills that you've developed and already have. Show ambition. Explain to them that maybe you would like to run the company 10 years from now. If you haven't heard this trick yet, show eye contact. Do not look down or elsewhere, because this is a quick way to let someone else win an interview over you. So, next step, essentially, would be to get hired and go to training. So now you have the job. Fantastic and congratulations! Now you have an entry-level job with opportunities for growth. There's that phrase again, opportunities for growth. Next step is to give your employer a great first impression. Show up dressed the same way you did for your interview, unless otherwise instructed, or if they have uniforms, and beast mode the training. That's what you got to do. How do you do this? It's simple. Actually pay attention and actually participate. You learn more this way, and you really make yourself the trainee to remember. I don't care if you got the job, you still need to compete. Now, you have to do a few things, and you really just need to be the best trainee in orientation. Trust me on this. The trainer talks to the managers talk to the operations managers, and they also talk to their site director. So, you need to be the one to remember. And a brief update on how this tactic worked for me. At the end of my first week of training, I ran into the site director. I offered a handshake and introduced myself. We had some small talk about whatever people small talk about, and I assured him I was excited for work and excited to work for him. After training ended, I went straight to production, and I was the only person in my training class that the site director knew on a first-name basis. And that was out of a training class of about 20 or so employees. And the managers had already heard of me. So there again, being the one to remember, dressing for success, and I mean, if you got to, walk up to the big wig and shake their hand and introduce yourself. Because this right here, I mean, that's pretty impressive. Your first week out on the floor and the site director knows you, the managers know you, everything. So paying attention and participating helped me tremendously, because this, you'll excel well past the abilities of the ones who were too shy or too lazy to do so. This is the point where managers will be crossing their fingers that you get moved on to their team. So now that you're on the production floor and out of training, the hard and redundant work begins. Now that most people know you, continue to network with other managers and higher-ups. Introduce yourself and participate in work-related functions. Most of all, do not show up late, unprepared, or call out of work. I did not call out of work unless there was a major emergency. And that would ultimately be like a death in the family. So do not call out of work. Don't do it. If you're sick, go to work anyways. If you can help it. Make them send you home. If you are contagious, however, you know, be sure to take every precaution necessary to prevent contamination to the other employees or your boss, because there's nothing worse than getting the rest of your employees sick. And, you know, some may think that going to work sick is awful advice. That can be your opinion. But, you know, you also don't want to, you know, get the whole company sick with the flu. So I will say that if your illness would affect the safety of others, do call out of work and explain everything. You want to be that person that if you call out, they're like, oh, wow, they must be sick. Because that's what I was. I didn't call out unless it was absolutely necessary. Anyways, work as hard as you can, because the next year or two is going to be long. Depending on availability of upward movements, it may take longer or shorter to get promotions. I know a lot of companies, they typically require at least 6 months to a year of employment before they'll even consider you to be promoted. So help your coworkers. If you see any of them struggling, offer a helping hand. Do this enough and it will be recognized. Volunteer to demonstrate your ability in all of the refresher training. Volunteer to help other peers. Do anything possible for management to remember your name and your face. Positively, of course. So, here we are with the growth opportunities. If you see any opportunities available for you to learn more, take it. Learn as much as you can, so when a position, if available, opens up to help with training classes, you are the best qualified candidate. I did all that I mentioned just a few moments ago and saw an opening for a training coach. This did not increase my pay, and the hours had a 50-50 shot of sucking, but I applied for it anyways. This position allowed individuals to help trainers get some on-the-job training for their trainees and help coach them to where they are as efficient as possible for when they hit the production floor. Fortunately for me, I got the job because I was one of the best qualified candidates, mainly because I knew the job, I knew it well, and I demonstrated in the past that I was able to effectively help my peers. Unfortunately, I got the crappy hours. But it's all good. Keep the eye on the prize. So, now what you've got to do that you're in these growth opportunities, you've got to excel within these growth opportunities. Yeah, you won the lateral move into a more responsibility. However, you still have to keep competing against the others who won that feat as well. Now, you need to assist the trainees better than the others. Do you do this by being a leader? Yes. Do you do it by being a boss? No. Don't know how to do that? Google leader versus boss. I guarantee you'll find plenty of material to read on how to be a successful leader versus a dictator boss. Polish yourself. Once you reach that point that everything seems to be getting monotonous and easy, you're almost where you need to be. You still have time to wait, though. Continue to be patient. I did this specific job and tried to find as many ways to become as effective as possible at it until I had the groove down packed. This is where I would get the, you know, kind of nitpicky and find what didn't work as well and what could have been done better. You have about a year of this to go through, or at least I did. Now, whenever you're whenever ready, and if you think you're ready at this point, use this secret. This will probably be the best part of this entire episode, and it's not a very well-known fact. Once you've done all that I've mentioned at this crappy, low, job-satisfying place for about a year, or whatever management positions require before you can be considered, look for your opportunity for growth. Keep updated through word of mouth and job postings at your employer. You can find this usually on bulletin boards, websites, etc. Do not be overambitious, though. Find the next step up and wait for a position to become available. Does it have prerequisites? I bet it does. So, just read through the job posting, and there it is. The dreaded Associate's Degree in Business Administration. Well, we tried, right? Look a little closer. What else do you see? Keep in mind, this may not be for all upward movements, but there it is, the secret. Associate's Degree in Business Administration or equivalent experience. To the untrained eye, you see that degree and bolt. But if you're paying attention and you see the words or equivalent experience, congratulations. All that hard work you did up to this moment and the time you've spent doing it has finally paid off. You now qualify for a lower management position. What do you do next? Apply for said position, because guess what? You meet all the prerequisites. That's just how it works. A lot of folks don't realize that there is or equivalent experience for a lot of job titles. Took me a while to realize that. So, you know, it is what it is, I guess. All right. So what's next? I'm a manager at a low job satisfaction employer. To be blunt about it, just grin and bear it. You're going to have to deal with this for the next 2 to 5 years. Why? Because sometimes life can be tough and it can suck. You are a manager that is severely underpaid, although it is an increase from your entry-level position, it still sucks. And patience is a virtue, my friend. Here's why. Now that you are on the edge of 2 to 5 years of management experience, you now qualify for much better paying and higher job satisfaction jobs. So just keep chasing that dollar. This worked for me, and it can work for you. That, or maybe I just got lucky.
I don't tend to think that I got lucky. I just think that I worked my
tail off and got to where I got the way I did it, in the way I'm telling you. So the best part is, you know, I no longer work for a low job satisfaction company. I'm now making double what I made as lower management, and now I work as a middle to high management position. And the best part about that is I didn't even have to get a degree. Huh, take a look at that. Now, the caveat is that I and a close friend got the same job at the same time, just different areas. He had a degree and I didn't. So what does this affect? Well, I'll tell you what it affects. That piece of paper that he had, well, let's just say he makes $15,000 more than I did for that piece of paper. So that's $15,000 a year higher pay for that degree. So, I mean, that made the difference. I'm not saying that getting a degree is pointless, but if it's not an option, I mean, you can still get this job. You just might, you know, get paid a little bit less. So now I have a growing family and, you know, we're doing just fine. So I hope this helps. I mean, this is the strategy that I've used since I've become an adult and started focusing on building a career for myself.
What have you done to become
successful in your career outside of getting a degree? I mean, that's the real question, because I'm sure it didn't just happen for me this way. I'm sure it's happened for others. So what tricks did you use? Find us on Facebook. Comment on the post where this podcast is being shared. And let us know. And also, please don't forget to rate this podcast. You know, show us some support. Because, you know, we want to keep doing this. Anyways, I think we'll go ahead and call this done. This is That One Show with the Newmans. I'm Ethan, and you have a great day, morning, night. Thank you.